Please take your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 33 this morning. And let's look to our Lord before we look to His Word. Father, we just thank You for the privilege it is to gather in freedom and comfort to study Your Word. Pray that You would help us to use this opportunity to grow to be more like Your Son, that we would be willing to heed the call of wisdom, and that we would follow it, properly applying it to our lives. I'm going to clearly explain this passage, and that You would work in us, through us, change us to be like Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. I've been telling my message this morning, the appeal of wisdom. The appeal of wisdom. You know, we understand the appeal of some things, right? Some things are kind of a universal appeal, like good food, comfort and warmth, sleep. I mean, I know we value that to varying degrees, but all of us can recognize that those are good things, right? And there's something that we all are drawn to, all of those. But there's other things we don't get the appeal, right? Because they're more one's particular interests. Like, I like puzzles. How many of you, like, really don't like puzzles? I mean, you just don't understand puzzles, okay? There's some of you out there, right? But that's a particular interest. Even in our own house, some of our kids like them, some of them don't. I've been enjoying some of them lately. Crafts are another one of those things. How many of you love crafts? Right? We have some of you that love crafts. How many of you just, don't want to touch crafts, right? There's a few of you out there that just, no desire, does not make any sense, right? Another one's cooking. How many of you love to cook, right? Some of you love to cook. How many of you love to eat cooking? That's the rest of us, right? How many of you love Milwaukee Tools? Right? See, this is a particular interest that I have that just other people don't really get. I mean, they may value what the tools can do, but they just don't understand. You know, there's different things that appeal to us differently. And what about wisdom? Do you understand that it really should be a universal appeal and not a particular interest, not just something for some people? Really, this is something for everybody. And Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 33, I think will help us to see the universal appeal of wisdom if we will listen to it, if we will heed its call. A week ago, we saw from our study of the book of Proverbs who we should listen to. By heeding the commands of listening to your loved ones, and especially as kids have a responsibility to listen to their parents, but really this is, more broadly applicable to listen to anyone who really has your best interests at heart, a friend who loves you or others, and because they really care about us. And when we do, it's attractive, it's beautifying. And if we don't, it's bad for us. It's harmful for us. And then there's the second command of don't join the gang. Don't listen to those who really they appeal to your lusts, your desires for either easy money or other things, getting things the easy way. But really what they're doing is they're setting a trap for themselves on that worn path that is going to lead to destruction. It's going to lead to a bad end. Don't go down that path. So we saw who we should listen to last time. Now we want to, as Solomon goes on, to encourage listening to wisdom through a personal appeal. He actually personifies wisdom as a woman here who is calling out, and from which we can learn about the appeal of wisdom by seeing the two reasons he gives us in verses 20 through 33. First reason we find in verses 20 through 27, you need to prepare now. There's an urgency to this. Solomon here personifies wisdom as a woman calling aloud in the streets, who's going about in the open squares, the busiest sections of town, as he says, calls aloud. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries to the chief concourses at the openings of the gates in the city. These aren't the back streets. These aren't the places where hardly anybody are, the alleyways. These are the places where lots of people are going. She wants as many people as possible to hear this, much like a street preacher might go to the beaches of California, if you've seen any of Ray Comfort's videos, that's where his favorite hangout is. Or others, they go to the busy spots. We used to go downtown on Friday nights and do street evangelism down there because there were lots of people down there. I mean, that's the place. That's the goal. She wants lots of people to hear. Who does she want to hear? She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge. These are the people who need to hear. The simple ones. Those that are just naive, they're gullible. And they need to get on the right path. Then there's the scorners. The scorners, those who are treat other people with contempt. They think they know better than others. And the fools, those who aren't really willing to learn. They think they know better than others. So these, you know, the woman of wisdom doesn't want the simple to turn into these, become hardened in this path of pursuit, and end up a scoffer or a fool. He says, "Turn at my rebuke." This is the message of repentance. It's get off this wrong path and turn to the right path. A change of mind, the change leads to a change of action. Listen to my rebuke, what I have to say, and get off that way. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. This is the promise of wisdom. I will give you wisdom if you will just turn away from the way you're going and follow after me. I will make my words known to you. That is her promise. But unfortunately, it says, because I have called and you have refused, I have stretched out my hands and no one will regard. And no one regarded, or they didn't give any attention to it. They refused to listen. There's many passages throughout the Old Testament that talk about Israel being like this. They refused to listen to the warnings again and again. You think of the prophets that God sent them, Isaiah and Jeremiah, and all a lot of the minor prophets and things. And even Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 10, verse 21, and how Israel refused to listen. They wouldn't heed. When they should have, that was the time to listen. I stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel. I have none and would have none of my rebuke. They wouldn't listen. So what? I will also will laugh at your calamity or distress when it comes upon you. I will mock when your terror comes. The dread of the fear of everything comes upon you when your terror comes like a storm. The idea is of a devastating storm. We know something about devastating storms, right? Derechos that rip through and in a matter of minutes, hours, do a great amount of damage. Millions, if not more. Unfortunately, we're intimately acquainted with that. That's what he's comparing this to, when there's going to come a day when this will take place. And your destruction comes like a whirlwind. And we would say a tornado. The word there is actually the word serratio. It's a hot wind off the desert that was typical in Israel, where it would come in off, the wind would blow from the east, and it would blow in off the desert, and it would bring this devastating, sometimes even tornadoes, basically what we would call them. They could do a lot of damage in a short amount of time. The point is the suddenness of the destruction. And it says, when distress and anguish come upon you, this is something you weren't expecting, and now it is here, and all of a sudden you have a world of hurt to deal with. This is why wisdom is crying out, because you need to prepare for this now. There is a time to prepare for a natural disaster, right? It's not during the disaster. That's been preached to us a lot. We know how to prepare, right? You get the phone alerts, you get them set up, you know where to hide, you have a plan, you probably have a generator. How many of you tried to buy a generator during or after a derecho? It's like impossible, right? I was going to go buy one. We were at camp the one time, and I was going to buy one up there, and I don't even know if I would have gotten one up there. Thankfully, many of you were more prepared and offered one. Because the time to get a generator is not after the disaster has hit. It's something you need ahead of time. Thankfully, my father-in-law had one. Had you even unboxed it? I mean, you had unboxed it, but the week before the derecho show in 2020 hit. And God knew, right? And, you know, to have the tools, the chainsaws and other things. I mean, again, you don't want to go out and buy a chainsaw after a derecho or a tornado has come through. I mean, those are things you want on hand so that you're prepared. I mean, that's just basic common sense that you would be prepared for it ahead of time. And so really, the time for preparation is now. Do you see how you need to be prepared now in gaining wisdom rather than waiting until you need it and don't have it? I have people that come to my office that, you know, they want counseling because now the disaster's happened. What do I do? It's kind of hard to pick up the pieces sometimes, right? I mean, it's not impossible. God gives grace and strength. But how much better to have prepared ahead of time so when the trial came, when the blow up in your house happens, figuratively, or literally, I mean, when the disaster happens, you have the wisdom to know how to handle that. Do you realize that wisdom starts with repentance? It starts with recognizing, I can't do this on my own. And really, fundamentally, that's salvation. Where you say, I am a sinner, I can't save myself, I need to stop trying to gain my salvation on my own, being good enough, our society says, well, you should just be a good person, a good citizen, a good worker, a good spouse, a good parent, a good neighbor. But how does that work out? I mean, our society is a mess because people have been depending on themselves. And we rely on ourselves for our self-improvement, or self-medicate, or we self-amuse. And really, what does it do? It makes things worse, not better. It's really the message of the book of Romans. How we're all sinners and we can't save ourselves, and how we need God to save us, and we can't boast about it. We can't do anything about it because it is Him who is at work, not us. So what should we do? We should trust in Christ alone to save us. Repent of our sin. Turn to Him. And when should we do this? Now. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. None of us is guaranteed tomorrow. Turn from your own way today. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you save through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Don't depend on yourself. Proverbs has a lot to say about that. You think you depend on your own way, and that leads to death. Don't go down that road. Are you seeking wisdom from God daily by reading and studying His Word to know how to apply it to life? That's what 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved, a workman who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You want to understand how to properly apply God's word, you've got to work at it. Because it's the word there for study is the word labor. And what do you need to do? I mean, you need to study all of God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's from Him. And so what is it? It's good for. It's profitable for what? For teaching, for doctrine, teaching you what to think, for reproof, teaching what not to think, showing you where your thinking has gone wrong, for correction, that's showing you where your behavior has gone wrong. And then lastly, for instruction in righteousness, showing you the right behavior. And what is the purpose of all this? That the man of God or the person of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I don't know about you, but I like being thoroughly equipped. I mean, you want to be totally ready for something, you take the Word of God. It will get you ready for no matter what you need to face. 2 Peter 1:3 tells us His word, divine power is given unto us all things pertaining to life and godliness. He tells us that if, bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. I mean, you want something, how many of you like those one-size-fits-all tools? Right? I carry a Swiss Army knife, and I mean that works in some ways, and you use it for a lot of different things. My brothers carry, or one of them carries a Leatherman, I know. Those kind of things, right? I mean, yeah, you use them in so many things. Why? Why do you carry those? You might need it. You never know, and you'll be prepared. I mean, how much more is this? That the tool that will fit every situation? Will we be prepared? Will we apply the wisdom of God's Word to our lives? Know how to use it. The tool does you no good if you don't know how to use it. I mean, I've been learning there's some tools I have that I've been using the wrong way. I mean, you're like, oh, I didn't know I did that. Like, oh, that's a cool feature. You know? How much more the Word of God? We're seeking it daily to read it, study it, get into its Word. That's why daily devotions are so important. Weekly Bible studies. I mean, that's why we make those available. And, you know, being in Sunday school and church. And I mean, those are just ways that you can be equipped and grow and know how to have the wisdom so that when you go through life, you're not shipwrecked. You're not, you know, totally thrown off course because of what happens. Do it now. Get into the Word now. Are you being a regular in those things, or are you neglecting, ignoring God's Word so that you won't have life answers to life's problems when they come? Don't blame God when they do. I mean, don't be ticked off at Him because really, I mean, that's where He says, I mean, God's just going to say, I'm going to laugh at you. Like, you should have known better. Like, really? Come on. Why blame God? I mean, He has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. If we're not prepared, it's our own fault. Do you realize how you need to prepare now to have wisdom when you need it? That's the first reason you need to prepare now. Second reason, someday it'll be too late. Verses 28 through 33. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently. They will not find me because they hated knowledge. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning of away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Solomon is going on here, a further statement of wisdom personified here, who's explaining, if you don't listen to her now, then there's going to come a day when she won't answer. How horrifying is that? And this isn't just a Proverbs thing. This is taught throughout. Job talks about this. Samuel talks about this. Isaiah talks about this. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah, Micah. They warn. If you don't listen now, there's going to come a day when God's going to be like, sorry, the offer expired. Right? It's too late. And if you don't diligently seek Him now, even though you may be diligent later, think of Esau, right? A man who diligently, he cried about it. He wanted that birthright then. What does Hebrews say? No. It's too late. Now, God promises, according to Isaiah 55, verse 6, He promises, if you diligently seek Him now, seek the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He is near. You know, if you do, then you will find Him. He says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. I mean, that's God's promise now. But there is an expiration date on that. But instead, they hated knowledge. They didn't choose the fear of the Lord. Remember how this book opened. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's the warning. And it plays out through the book. Of those who listen, those who don't. And wisdom is urging us to listen before it is too late. Instead, they would have none of her counsel. Unfortunately, Israel models that for us, doesn't she? They didn't listen, would not. God gave them so many chances, so many warnings, and they refused to listen. They wouldn't have any of her counsel. In the end, they're filled up with the fruit of their own ways. They got the fruit of what they had sowed, and this is really a kind of a reference to the laws of sowing and reaping, right? In Scripture, it talks about You know, you sow, you'll reap. Like Job 64:8, Proverbs 22:8. Kind of the one that we think of often, though, is Galatians chapter 6, 7, and 8. Which talks about, says, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." What are the laws of sowing and reaping? The laws of sowing and reaping is, number one, you reap what you sow. You put it into the ground, I mean, you put corn seeds in, you get corn. You put soybean seeds in, you get soybeans. Not the other way around, and not some random thing. You get what you put in. You reap what you sow. You reap later than you sow. It takes time for it to come and bear fruit. I mean, we put it in the spring, you reap in the fall. So it's later. Number three, you reap more than you sow. You put one seed in the ground and hopefully you get a whole lot. What's the potential in every corn seed? 500 bushel. Wouldn't that be great? Right? And that varies every year. But that's a whole lot more just from one. You reap more than you sow. Four, you reap in proportion to what you sow. If you only put a few seeds in the ground, you're only going to get a small crop. But if you put a lot of seeds in the ground, the potential is for a huge crop. And then lastly, you have to sow to reap. If you don't go out and sow, you're not going to reap. Now here in Galatians, it's putting it both positively and negatively. You sow, you can sow to the flesh or you can sow to the Spirit. Which one is it going to be? If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life. Everlasting life. Now the problem is, we want to sow to the flesh and reap from the Spirit. Does that work? No. I mean, you abuse your body, do whatever you want, mess around, and then you wonder why your marriage is destroyed and your body is going to pop and you're dying an early death. You reap to the flesh, you reap corruption. However, you sow to the Spirit, you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, you seek to live according to His ways, and do what He tells you to, you'll reap life. Ultimately, eternal life. Not that you're earning salvation. Obviously, that's something the Spirit does for us. But you reap the benefits. I mean, families, intact families that love each other and care for each other, being part of a loving church community. I mean, there's so many benefits. This is how it plays out, the laws of sowing and reaping in our lives. Somebody has said, every man is free to make his own choices in life, but he is not free to choose the consequences of his choices. Let me say that again. Every man is free to make his own choices in life, but he is not free to choose the consequences of his choices. You make your choices, then your consequences choose you. That's how it works. And that's really what Proverbs, really God, is warning us about. You don't want those choices? You don't want those consequences? Then don't make those choices. It's not rocket science here. You want good consequences? You need to make good choices. Because he says wisdom puts it in contrast here. The turning away of the simple will slay them. You go down those paths, it'll kill you. And the complacency or the ease of fools, those who just kind of want to cruise in life, it will destroy them. That's the negative. But the positive, verse 33, whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. They have no fear of what will come. They don't have to, wake up at night wondering who's out there to get them. All the enemies that they've made. All the wrong that they've done that any point could be coming back to haunt them. I listened to a book recently. It's called Come Back, Barbara. It's a parents whose daughter chose to go the way of the world. Really, it came out she wasn't really saved. But at one point, she married a drug dealer. They had all sorts of money, all sorts of nice place, but they were always fearful of someone coming to get them. He had like six dogs that, and would never let her do anything. I mean, it was glitzy at first, but in the end, it was just such a lonely life and so much fear. She finally, even as an unbeliever, wanted out of that. The person who is trusting the Lord, doing things right, you can go to bed at night, you can put your head on the pillow, you don't have to fear, you know, somebody's going to kill you in the middle of the night, that something bad is going to happen. I mean, I don't really have to worry about whether, you know, the government's out to get me, because, I mean, yes, they theoretically could, but or you know, I'm going to be bashed in the door, or something bad's going to happen, or I'm going to be dragged off to jail because you're keeping the law. You're doing what's right. I mean, those are just consequences of living the way that God calls us to. I love how Hebrews 13:6 tells us, you know, the promise that God gives. It says, let your let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Notice he's just been talking about living right, and then God promises not to forsake us, and we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? What is the worst thing that man could do to you? Kill you, and what would happen? Yep, you can't throw me. You go to heaven, right? I mean, that's the worst. So why? We have nothing to fear. We should not be people of fear. We should live in boldness because of what God promises. And even when we tell our kids this, I mean, even when mommy and daddy aren't there, God is there. Jesus is with you. No matter where we are. But there's an expiration date on this, isn't there? We need to choose the way of wisdom before it's too late. I often keep coupons or you know, those sales and things. And you think, maybe I'll use that. How many of you had that experience, though? You find it like weeks later and you're like, oh, it expired. Or how many of you have had the experience that you're like, oh, yeah, I have that coupon. I really should go do this. And then you look at the coupon after you finally decide you might use it, and it's expired. Right? We've all been there. It never fails. You need one when you don't have one. Do you see how it will be too late someday to gain wisdom? Will you find out on Judgment Day that you should have listened to God's wisdom and repented and served Him before it's too late? Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment." That is the reality. There's no second chances after death. And for us as Christians, the reminder of 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether good or bad. It's why we should seek to please Him now, not wait until then and risk loss of reward. Be careful how you build now, as 1 Corinthians 3 talks about, with precious stones and gold and silver rather than wood, hay, and stubble, because there is coming a day of judgment will test all of our works. And it will burn up anything that doesn't really last, that was done for the wrong reasons, that was done out of selfishness, yet will be saved as though by fire. Don't be like one who's bought at a fire sale. Still have that smoke smell on us. Let's not have regrets on Judgment Day. Do you understand that this life is what we have to believe and serve Him? This is the now. This is where we need to be preparing it, because someday it's too late. Will you seek Him while He can be found, or repent before it's too late, as Isaiah 55 tells us? Let the wicked turn from his way. Don't go, you know, keep going down those paths. Repent. Trust in Him. Seek to serve Him. Will you find the answers from God's Word now for life and godliness? Or will you be picking up the pieces of your life, your marriage, your family, your job, your reputation, trying to regain what has been destroyed? It's better to learn now, right? To keep from going that way rather than having to learn the hard way. Don't learn from the school of hard knocks. It's a hard way to learn. God is gracious. God will restore, but what He really wants in the way of wisdom is to prepare now before it's too late. Will you sow diligently with the Spirit's help, or will you reap the fruit of the flesh? That's what Galatians talks about. Contrast the works of the flesh with the works of the Spirit. I mean, that's what comes right prior to the talk or discussion about the sowing and reaping. Don't sow to the flesh. Instead, sow to the Spirit and find life now and forever. Starts by trusting in Christ. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You need to believe in Him now. Recognizing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. He is the only way. And I love this passage in Jeremiah 17. We've talked about Jeremiah 17:9 a bunch in Sunday school, but right prior to this, verses 7 through 10, it says, verse 5, it says, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land which is not inhabited." That's the one choice. Second choice, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord," much like Psalm 1, "and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spread out its roots by the river, and will not fear when the heat comes, the midsummer, but its leaf will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." And then it talks about the heart being deceitful and God knowing the heart. And God tests the mind and gives to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. This is the options. Are we going to trust God and be like that tree planted by the rivers of water? Doesn't matter what we go through, we can go through horrible things with our health, family situations, disasters, and we just keep growing. Or, if we're trusting in ourselves, we're going to be like that parched shrub in the desert. It's just going to shrivel up, and then just sucks the life out of everything. Trust in Him. Seek His way, the way of wisdom. Don't you realize, or do you realize how we need to seek wisdom now before it's too late? Early on, I can't remember if it was while we were engaged or when we were first married, Tiff and I sat in on one of these, got invited to one of these cookwares, right? It was the plates. These were plates you could throw on the floor and they wouldn't break. So it was good stuff, but they were expensive. And, we almost bought, but we didn't. She says it was more me. I will admit, I probably was more suckered into it. My parents, they've gone the whole Vitamix, heard the pitch, bought the Vitamix. My brother, they heard the cookware, the really good cookware, at the fair, those things, and bought those. Those appeals are good. They're good, but they're not really that good. The price you pay versus what you get, in the end, make your choice, probably not a wrong choice, but it's not really that good of an appeal. The appeal of wisdom is so much better. You do truly need it for life. Do you realize how we should listen to the appeal of wisdom and prepare now before it's too late? Will you listen to the appeal of wisdom? Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for its wisdom. Help us to seek Your way, not our own, and that we would find true and lasting wisdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.